All right. So with that in mind, I want you to quickly turn to the person next to you, and I want you to share with them a hobby or interest of yours that really makes you come alive. That kind of hobby or interest that when you do it, you feel free, it makes you feel rested afterwards, you're excited about it, you don't mind putting energy into it because you love it. And this doesn't have to be the biggest, most amazing hobby in the world, really, okay? It's your hobby, so what makes you feel alive? And maybe right now you're sitting there going, oh my goodness, I don't have a hobby. Then I want you just to think about a hobby maybe in school and varsity, that thing that you love doing that was very much who you were. And I want you to quickly turn to the person next to you and I want you to just tell them what that hobby is and maybe explain a bit about it. Quickly, go, 1 minute. Okay, quickly. Then what I want you to do now is I want you to imagine if you had to really grow in excellence in that specific hobby, okay? Maybe you already are. Maybe you are that person that you're going for this hobby. This is like next level vibes. But maybe you're not. Maybe it's really just something you do for fun. But if you had to really commit to this and you wanted to do it very well to the point where it just becomes effortless, you don't even think about the technicalities around your hobby, okay? I want you to share with the person again what will be the basic disciplines that you'd have to do to get to that place where you don't even have to think about it. You just do it, and it's awesome, and it's fun. Okay, go. Okay. All right, was there any hobby somewhere that you heard of now that you really didn't know would be a hobby? Rob, yes. What hobby? What? Quilting. Quilting, okay. And did you, Rob, did you find out that quilting is actually quite difficult? Okay. Anyone else? Anyone that maybe heard of a hobby tonight that you would never thought would be someone's hobby? Or just something interesting that you thought was interesting? Anyone? Yes, Wadi. He's what? Deadly with his hands. Can you just explain that? What? Half McGraw. Oh, self-defense. Okay, wow. Okay, I didn't know that. Okay. Well, then maybe we can all slot in for a session with Rudolph on self-defense. That would be awesome. Okay, awesome. Jana, I asked Jana before, so she knows some of what I'm going to ask her, but you can start bringing your violin. So all of you, or some of you, obviously know, you either know Jana well, or you just know her from seeing her playing the violin. But I asked her this weekend, I said to her, I wanted to come and just play something for us that she enjoys. That's that moment for her where she doesn't have to think about it, and that she just enjoys herself. But before we do that, I want to quickly just ask, how long have you been playing the violin?
27, so that makes 17 years.
17, okay. And how many hours a day do you practice?
Now, not as many. Now I'm performing like 4 hours a day or so, but when I was in varsity, I was practicing like 8 or 9.
Okay, why do you find now that you don't have to practice as much, or is it more a case of you just don't have time?
I don't have time because I'm doing other things as well.
Okay, why did you choose this piece?
This piece, it's really, really simple, actually. It's the first piece that I ever played in church.
Thank you, Jana. Doesn't she just make it look so easy? She makes you feel like, oh, I can also pick up a violin and start playing. All right, there's a point to all of this. So I want us to understand, firstly, all of us have that something in our life that puts us in that place where Jana was now, where she can just close her eyes and she goes into this other world and she can just play without thinking about the scale that she's playing, thinking about where her fingers have to go, thinking about, am I playing the right note? I bet if I had to ask you now, you're going to tell me I didn't think of any of that stuff. Exactly. She was just thinking about enjoying it. And maybe right in the beginning you were a little bit nervous, but as the song started, you just let go. Yes. And that's exactly what I want you to hear tonight. I'm going to come back to that. But I want you to keep in mind this, what you saw now, what happened, what you heard from the person next to you. And it's all going to tie in very nicely later. Okay. I want us to firstly look at Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30 in your ESV. You're welcome to look at your own Bibles if you want. I'm using the ESV translation. Now, all of us know the scripture or this passage very well, especially at the end of the year, okay? Especially when you are really tired and it's almost December, but not quite yet, but it feels like it's almost there. And then this first part of this passage starts coming up on social media quite a lot, okay? Where we all just, Lord, I'm just going to come and sit at your feet and find your rest. Somehow I'm going to make it to the end of the year, okay? But God has been speaking to me this week about this rest. It actually started because Matty messaged me and she said, this has really been on her heart. And I said to her, well, to be honest, this is exactly the thing that I've been thinking about. I wasn't thinking about preaching about this, but when we started talking about it, I thought, oh my word, this is actually very important. Because it's a thing that we get into where we want rest from God, but do we really understand what rest in the Lord actually means? And what does it look like, okay? So this is going to be very simple, but like I said already, if at any point I lose you or I'm not making sense, you are very welcome to just wave or something, and then I'll explain it again. Because God's word is simple, and it's easy to understand. So let's just pray quickly. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can trust for your Holy Spirit to break open the word for us. Thank you that your word is the bread of life. And Father, we ask, even with this passage that a lot of us grew up with, and we know it, Father, that you will renew the way we look at it, that you will renew it in our minds, that it will become a revelation of the soul and not just a passage that we're familiar with, not something that we grasp with straws, Father, that we will really have a revelation anew of what it means in our soul. In Jesus' name, amen. So come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly or humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, so I'm going to divide it up. There's two parts of rest in this passage that we need to see, okay? So like I said already, if we go to the next slide, this first passage is usually where we stop. We like to quote this and hashtag this and write it down somewhere, and we're familiar with this. Okay, so let's start with that. Let's break it open. It says, come to me. I want you to see very simply first that God does not say, stay where you are and you will find rest. It doesn't say, you must come to me and you will find rest. It's an invitation to move and to move by faith. It says, come to me. In other words, get up from where you are and come to me. But it's not something forced. It's not something that we have to do. It's an invitation, which makes this even more important to grasp. Okay? If you want to make notes tonight, please do, because I'm going to tackle this thing from different angles the whole time, the same thing. Because it's sometimes in the most basic things that we miss that light bulb moment where we just go, okay, I've never looked at this like this before, all right? First, see that God says, come. Where are you standing right now? Where are you standing? Where are you sitting? Where are you maybe lying in a fetal position, okay? Praying for the year to end, okay? That's fine, but where are you? And can you come from there? Are you able to see the invitation and respond? Because it's something that you need to choose and it's something that you need to do because you want to. And God won't force this upon you, okay? Then it says, all who labor. See the word all. That means everyone and anyone. All of us. This is not something for just some of us. I remember thinking, I would always see people that were always just so energized. And I go, Lord, how do they do that? Why are they always energized? What am I doing wrong? Okay. And then they would tell me this, no, I just find my rest in the Lord. And then I wanted to just smack them, to be honest. So I'm like, don't say that to me, okay? But it's true, right? But the invitation is for everyone. It's not just exclusive to some of us. And this is also another thing that we need to get in our hearts. Do you believe that it's an invitation to you personally? Do you believe that? Do you receive that as a truth? That it's not just for the people that you think look rested, but for all of us. Then it says, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden or burdened. All right? Now, the easiest place to start is our work, because that's what we do most of the time. That's where we spend most of our time and most of our energy. Like even Jana said now very quickly there, she doesn't even have time to practice or maybe just play for fun because of all the other stuff that she's doing, which is work. Okay? I don't even know how many hours most of you work, but I know that most of you have very high-pressure jobs. Okay? All of us are going to work every day, in and out. That's where you spend most of your time. That's where most of your energy is going to go. So when it says, all who labor, and if I had to take it very literally, all of us that are working, come, okay? Work is probably the one place where we get the most tired. If you had to ask someone, how are you doing? Yeah, you know, work is hard. Or it's been stressful at work. We normally start with that conversation, okay? And it's fine, it's normal, because that's where our life kind of is around work. But in a very practical sense, even in that place, God says, if your work is making you tired, come. Don't stay, not literally, at your workplace. Come, all right? And heavy laden burden, if we flip it to the other side, all the other stuff in our life that's burdening us, and that can be mountains of things. It could be our finances. It could be stuff happening in our family. It could be things happening in our friendship circles. It could be stuff like, I'm going to check, is anyone engaged here tonight? Ah, yeah, planning the wedding. Yay, not tired at all. Okay, all right. So all these things that we do, and sometimes, to be honest, even being a Christian can make us feel tired. Because there's that voice that's constantly telling us, do more, do more, do more, do more. So now you have to, ooh, I have to do, I have to go and sit with God, I have to spend time with him, then I have to go to work, and I have to crunch numbers, and I have to get this going. And there's a boss breathing down your neck, and you're stressing, there's a deadline, so much stress, so much stress. Now you go to the gym, work, 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 someone's screaming in your ear, do harder, do more, do more. You've got your energy shake or whatever you're going. Then after that, you're going to some place with your work people, and you're having a coffee, and you're spending time. And now you have to chat, and your energy has to be up, okay? Because this is people that you need to build a relationship with. And then you come here on a Sunday, and we sing, 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 and you have to meet everyone. I mean, just doing that is making me feel so tired, okay? And even in that sense, I want to say all of that will tire us out when it's all fleshly, when it's all like do, 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 work, 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 strive, 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 more, more, more. The natural repercussions of that is being burdened, even if it's something that's a right thing, even when it's a good thing, okay? And that's why our natural instinct is then to run to things that we think are going to give us that quick release, you know, that quick rest or that quick whatever. And I don't want to go into that tonight. I do that often enough. So we tend to rather run there. But God says, if you are here and you are laboring and you are burdened and you're heavy, come to me. And what does he say if you come? I will give you rest. And giving means it's a gift. It is not earned. Do you believe that? That you don't have to earn God's rest? Or is it also something in your day where you just go, 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 try, 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 work, 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 and in that working, God will give you rest? God says, come, and I will give you rest. Now, the second part of this passage is actually very important. And for the longest time, I just chose not to really look at it because I didn't really understand it. We all like doing that. If we don't like a passage, we just skip it. I don't really know what's going on here, okay? But this is what God took me to, and I had to wrestle through this. And what I realized is this is the key to actual rest, Right, so if you are here tonight and you're feeling exhausted, whether physical, spiritual, emotional, this is the key. All right, so please stop me if I'm not making sense. Now God says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly, humble in heart. Now let's just stop there quickly. This is the part that I didn't understand. Lord, didn't I just take the yoke off? Didn't I just stop the striving and all the working and all the doing? Now you're telling me put another yoke on. It doesn't make any sense. So I would skip it and just go to you will find rest for your souls. Okay. But what is God trying to say to us? Because obviously this is important. Why? And can I skip quickly to the resting part? Why is this the key? Because it says, and you will find rest. Sorry, just go back. You will find rest for your souls. So not just you will find rest. You will find rest for your soul. This is a kind of rest that's supernatural, where you don't constantly have to come back the whole time. But then how do you do that? How does someone find rest for their soul, which is supernatural? Because if your soul is in a place of resting, you don't have to come back the whole time. Isn't that what we do? We come here on a Sunday or on a Wednesday, in your quiet time with the Lord, and you find that place of rest. You sit with God, you spend time with Him, suddenly you feel rested. Now the whole week happens, and then a week goes by and you're back to being tired. Now I come sit with the Lord again. Lord, okay, I'm sitting here, I want my rest. A week goes by, you come back, sitting here, right? And that gets tiring. I don't know if you find that, but that makes me tired as well. This is talking about a kind of a rest that is there because it's in part of your soul. So this is the key. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, I want you to go to that picture of, yes. Okay, so I had another picture and then Marius was very upset because it looked terrible. And then he said, I must get friendly cows. So this is my friendly cows. All right, so my friendly moo cows are yoked there, all right? So most of you obviously know this. You all know what a yoke means and what it looks like. But what I want you to hear is when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, a yoke is made for two. And if God says that we must take a yoke upon His yoke upon us, firstly we must understand if a yoke is made for two, that means if we find ourselves in a yoke, we yoke ourselves to something, all right? And let's put ourselves back in work. I don't know what your deadline is at the moment, this time of year. I know some of you have different times of deadlines. It's very confusing to keep up with everyone. But whatever that thing is at the moment that's keeping your blood kind of going like this, all right, can you picture that your work is part of your yoke? That if you are yoking yourself to your work, how burdensome it's going to get. How hard, how striving. Because that work, that stress, it's not so much yoking yourself to the physical work that you're doing. It's yoking yourself to that situation. The situation of stress, fear, working, striving. All right? Yoking yourself to any situation that is not godly, is fleshly, and that ultimately is going to make you feel weak and tired. Okay, now Jesus is saying, don't yoke yourself to that thing, to this world, to the situation. I want you to take my yoke upon you. In other words, He's already standing in the yoke. And He's saying, come alongside me, partner with me. Does that make sense? He's saying, partner with me. Come alongside me. Because a yoke, for those two pretty little cows to move, they have to do it together. And yes, the one is probably a little bit weaker than the other. It normally works like that. But they can't pull in different directions. We all know the analogy. We all know that scripture, don't be unequally yoked. Now think about that in the context of what we're saying now. Instead of being yoked to stuff and situations and dead works, you yoke yourself to Jesus. And now, go back to that scripture. Take my yoke upon you. So come alongside me, partner with me. And now He says, in that place of yoking with me, learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. Again, wherever you're standing right now, whatever you feel yoked to, can you imagine right there being able to say, Lord, I choose to not yoke with this now. I choose to come and yoke myself with you. I choose to put your yoke upon me so that I can partner with you. And right now in this situation, I ask for your help. Teach me what to do. You know what's incredible? Murray has been struggling at work with an experiment that's not working. And it was really frustrating him. And then literally, and this has happened to him so many times, he prayed and said, Lord, help. I don't know how to fix this. I don't know what to do. And he's a scientist, so in that sense, if it doesn't work, it takes a whole nother week or 2 weeks even. You lose work, basically, hours. And God gave him the answer. And then he came back to me, when was it Friday? Yeah, Friday came back, light as a feather, says to me, oh my goodness, it worked. I don't even understand like what I did, but it worked. Learn from me. In that place of yoking with God and not the fear of not getting it right, God imparts, God helps, his authority resting together. And the most beautiful thing for me is it doesn't just say learn from me, it also says, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You know what disarms situations that are fear-driven and anger-driven and all these other drivens? Humility and gentleness. Can you imagine right there in that moment saying, God, I'm partnering with you. I'm choosing to wait on you. We sang about it tonight. I choose to wait on you now in this situation. And now I'm trusting for your humility and your gentleness to minister right now. Can you imagine in every area of your life how that would disarm things that minister that are not of the Lord? And then it says, once you do that, and this is important, once you do that, you will find that rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why do you think he says that as well? That should be obvious, and yet he says it again. Because he's making a statement that any other yoke is then going to be hard. It will be hard. And my yoke will be easy. That's really powerful. And my burden is light. Because whatever the burden is of the world is going to be heavy, okay? Really heavy. But when God's will, who he is invited into these situations of our life at the end of the year when we're tired, that burden becomes light. This is something that God wants us to really hear. I'm going to skip to Galatians 5 verse 18, the last slide. This was amazing for me. I know Galatians, I know the context. It's not completely the same context, but I want you to hear this. Galatians 5 verse 1, it says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Putting the two blocks together. In other words, the yokes to the world is a yoke of slavery, where the yoke with God, that partnership, is freedom. And that's why it's not works, 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 works. It is not that now I have to work even more to get into a place where I yoke with God. No. It brings freedom. And going to Galatians 5 verse 18, it says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Again, that means yoking with something else brings us under the law again. That heaviness, that burden, that constant voice that's telling you, you have to do more, 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 more. Where if we are led by the Spirit, we are not under that law. Are you hearing this? I'm seeing a lot of pennies dropping, but they're dropping, okay? God wants us to hear tonight. We can have that rest. We can stop the cycle of having to come back to him week after week or year, like especially at the end of the year. We go on holiday, now we do nothing, we're on the beach, we're eating, hanging with our family, sleeping in. If you don't have people around you with lots of kids, you can sleep in. And then you come back and you're refreshed for maybe like a month. And then all of a sudden, I remember this in the beginning of your people saying, it feels like I haven't even had a holiday. The only way that even though you're physically tired, because we're going to be tired, we're flesh, we're not perfect, we're not unique, we are going to get tired, but the only way that your spirit man is going to go, I can stand in this place and not be tired, is when you are yoked to the God that doesn't grow weary and doesn't grow tired. What we sang tonight, our cornerstone, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. That's what we sang. That's what it means. For me, coming back to the hobby, what was crazy is I have such a passion for dancing. Since I was 3, I did ballet. And my mom said she purposely put me in a ballet class since I was young because I was quite spacey. And ballet kind of helped to focus me. So ballet was awesome because it was this dream world that I could just kind of let go and focus. But the older I got, the more serious I got about dancing. And I realized, sure, I actually want to do something with this. I don't want it just to be something that's fun every week or so. I want to actually do something with this. And then I went and studied musical theater, and then I realized, comparing myself to the people around me, my goodness, I'm very behind technique-wise. So I had to work really hard, and I had to eat right, and I had to gym, and I don't really like gymming, so I had to gym a lot, and we had all these different classes and things. And finally, I remember in my 3rd year, I'll never, ever forget this. In my 3rd year, we had to audition for a show or something, and I'll never forget, there was a moment where everything just stopped. All the technique, all the practices, all the works at the bar, all the worrying about what you should eat, what you shouldn't eat, how to gym, how to work your muscles, where to put your arms, thinking, looking, where everything, all that, it just stopped. And all of a sudden, I was just dancing and I was just enjoying it. All I was thinking was just the music and the rhythm, and I was just going for it. And that was the first time in the time that I studied there that I got feedback that was, wow, you actually looked like you were dancing and just enjoying it. You weren't thinking. And that's where God wants us to get. That place where, yes, maybe it's a basic discipline in the beginning. Having to remind yourself, okay, wait, don't yoke with this. Don't yoke with this fear. Don't yoke with the troubles. Reminding yourself in the beginning is going to be a basic discipline. But it's not a work because it's partnering with someone that you love. And that's not work. That's just reminding, oh yeah, don't go back there, just come in here. To get to that place, like with me, well, I didn't have to think about it anymore. And now the sad thing is, I said it this morning, this year I was so terribly wanted to start dancing again because now I've been sitting at a desk for how many years? I don't dance anymore. I don't really train anymore. I don't worry about the eating stuff anymore. So everything is out the window. And I found this ballet class and I said to myself, oh, I'm just going to go back and start ballet again. And then the first day, in my head, I was still very much like a ballet dancer. I can do this. I know exactly what I have to do. I know how my feet has to be. My mind is there. The poise is there. Halfway through the class, I couldn't move. I was so sore. Every muscle was sore. I said to him, I didn't even know the dancer could make you this sore. Okay, and he was just laughing at me. And for 3 times that I went to that class, I was dying. I was literally dying from basic moves. And unfortunately, by the 3rd class, because now Anri in her head was pushing herself so much, that I pulled a muscle in my hip. And then I went to the physio, and the physio actually said to me, okay, seriously, can you just go to the gym first and just start with basics, and then you can go back to dancing. And it humbled me, it humbled me, it humbled me. Because in my head, what are you talking about? I could do this. I know exactly what I have to do. But the body is not there, okay? Muscle memory. If any of you have ever done a sport where you stop thinking, you know what I mean right now. You don't have to think about it. Okay? I want to show this video quickly. Can I show it? Sorry, I didn't give you enough time. That muscle memory is what I'm trying to get us in a practical way with God. And there's the difference. It's not a, Lord, I have to work so hard to partner with you and to receive the rest of the soul. It is a reminder. It's a basic discipline. And then one day, you're going to get to that place where you just go, I don't even have to think about it anymore. God is just there. Every situation, whoa, I'm feeling such a peace. I'm feeling such rest because God is there. Because that basic discipline became muscle memory. Where he's just a part of every moment of your life. And we don't have to think about it anymore. Are we ready? This is very random. It's a dance, okay? No rugby, no shooting. Sorry, Bernie. It's a dance.
For another person is like a drop of water. It will make ripples throughout the pond. Never believe that a few caring people can't change the world. That's all who ever have.
Isn't that just stunning? Even if you don't know how to dance, you can't tell me, you can't look at that and go, wow. Okay. The amount of hours, I was thinking how Jana said it was 8 hours a day of practicing to play the way that she does now. The same for those guys. Especially the guys who are doing all the floor work and stuff. You know how strong they have to be. But what I loved about this video was that moment in the middle when the guy was in the front and with the crazy air and he was going for it. And all of a sudden, that energy just got around all the dancers. Everyone started laughing. And in that moment, the energy changed and everyone just enjoyed it. They stopped thinking about this is a competition and we have to get all the moves right and get all the moves, you know, technically everything. They just went for it. And that's why everyone, all of us started going, okay, yeah, this is good, this is good. We started enjoying it with them. It's mesmerizing. Because there's that moment where you stop thinking about it's work, it's work, it's work, I have to do. And it just becomes natural. That is what God wants for us, for each of us. We're partnering with him is that natural. But to get to that place, we're going to have to start with basics of just going, Lord, I remind myself in this moment. While I'm driving, in this moment, your peace, your gentleness, at work, at home, with your hobbies even, this holiday with your family. God is here. His gentleness is here. His humility is here. His help is here. Can you stand with us? The band can also come to the front. I'm going to keep it very simple tonight. You know exactly where you are in this situation. You know where you are in terms of what you're yoking with, who you're yoking with, where you're yoking with. Maybe you, even in that place right now, right in the beginning, that first verse, where you stuck somewhere. And right now, God is saying, come. Come to me. Can you just close your eyes? We close our eyes just because sometimes that even distracts us, what other people are doing, who's looking, what am I doing, what am I looking like. Closing our eyes is just a way to focus. I want to first focus on that first part of the verse. That come, that invitation, the invitation that opens up a gift, the gift of God, firstly. That place of saying, here, find your rest. And maybe tonight you're going, sure, Lord, I know that I must come, but it's the last thing I want to do. I'd rather just stay here. But something inside of you ministered tonight. There was a tugging in your heart where you know this is not going to be sustainable. You can't continue staying in that place. You need to let go. And come. If that is you, and you have a desire tonight to say, Lord, I want to just start with a place where I say, here I am. I'm coming. I'm walking towards you, and I'm trusting for that rest. I want you to quickly put up your hand. If you've put up your hand, you can put it down. Thank you for those hands. In fact, it's a lot of us. I want you to keep put up both your hands. Let's just do it as a surrender to God, because it's actually a lot of us. Thank you. Thank you for your obedience. Father, we come in surrender before you tonight. And Lord, we say, Father, we are so flesh. Father, in so many ways, every day, we are still that flesh person that forgets we have a Father who has an open invitation that stands every day. And Father, tonight, thank you for that reminder that that invitation is real. And it's here. And Father, for every hand that is up, may it be a sign of surrender to God that says, Lord, here I come. I don't want to be stuck where I am. I don't want to stay where I am and get more and more tired. Father, thank you for that revelation tonight that that yoke is a burden to me. It is a slavery to me. It is tiredness. It's heavy. I don't want to stay there. Thank you for opening my eyes. Father, as I put my hands up to you tonight, I say, Lord, I surrender. Not my will, but yours. I want to come and I want to receive a gift that is free. I want to receive it with both arms wide open. With my heart open. And so, Father, for every person whose hands are stretched out to you tonight, Lord, I pray that over them, that they will run to you. Not kind of walk, but run. And I pray for the grace to stay with you. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will not get called back to that false sense of rest, that false sense of security, because that is a yoke of slavery. I pray in the name of Jesus tonight for the grace of the Lord to be upon you, to stay where you are, that desire to want to stay there. The desire to want to partner with God, to choose to yoke with Him, to put His yoke that is easy and His burden that is light upon your shoulders and partner with the one that you love. Thank you, Father, that you love every single person here. Thank you for that spirit of that is humble and gentle. In Jesus' name. Then I want to pray for the second part of that rest. The rest that says, I want to give you a rest for your soul. And I want to ask you tonight, maybe you are that person that's already coming. You're coming, but you didn't realize the partnership part. you didn't realize that you've been yoking yourself to the wrong thing, and that's why you have to keep coming back. And tonight, that light bulb went off, and you said, Lord, I want to partner with you. I want to take up that basic discipline of just reminding myself, I want your will in every situation. I want you in my life, in every space of my life. I want to invite in your gentleness, your humility, your ability to teach and help me in every moment of my life. I want to partner with you. I want to yoke with you tonight. And I want to start that journey where I get to that place where I don't even have to think about it anymore. Where it just becomes real and natural. It's muscle memory because I'm yoked to you. I don't even have to think about it. If that is you, I want you to quickly put up your hand as well. Just keep your hands up. Thank you for those hands. Anyone else? Okay, we're going to do the same thing. I want you to stretch up both your hands. Father, we thank you tonight that as we stretch out our hands to you, Lord, we say in obedience, Father, we are here to choose to yoke with you, to put your yoke upon us, Father, to receive what is light and what is easy, Father. Father, we do not want to submit to that yoke of slavery again, Father. We choose that place of freedom, a place where we choose to partner with you, because with you there is freedom. And Father, tonight, every hand that is up, thank you for the witness that is. Thank you for the obedience, for the boldness to say, Lord, I don't want to constantly have to remind myself to partner with you. I want what we saw tonight with Jana and those dancers where it just happened. Everything was working together and there's no more thinking. There's no more striving. There's no more working. It's just there. God is just there. Every part of every moment of my life, my day. I want that. I want that kind of partnership where it's real. Thank you for your grace for us tonight, Father. And Lord, so we say together tonight, we choose to partner with you. We choose to take up your yoke. We choose to put your authority on our shoulders in every situation, to bring your will into every situation. And thank you for the gentleness and the humility and that place of teaching that comes with doing that, where we can stop trying out of our flesh and we can really know that in our weakness, you are strong. Thank you that in that place of yoking, we are the weaker one and you are the strong one. You are the cornerstone. I just want to give you a moment. Every person whose hand was up before now, I want you to, again, just as a sign of surrender. So the first part of the rest and the second part of the rest of your hands is up. I just want to give you a moment in your own words. I want you to confess or speak aloud that thing that you are walking away from. And I want you to say in your own words to God how you want to yoke with him, how you want to partner with him. What are those situations that you know that you're not partnering with him? We're just going to give you a moment to do that.